Talk New York sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 302, McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your Met phone calls as they drop game one of the NLCS, 9-0 in a tough loss, but one that I feel is, you know, relatively easier to move on from than some of the gut punches they've both delivered and received over this course of the postseason. Big game coming up later today. But let's transition to the Giants for a second, as this team does what it does, quite honestly. And they lose to the Bengals, the Cincinnati Bengals, who have been atrocious defensively. Atrocious. One of the worst teams in the league. Everybody has put up big points on the Cincinnati Bengals. And the New York Giants lost last night 17-7. This game going in, I talked about what this offense needed to do, what we expected it to do. Yes, no Singletary, no big deal. Tracy runs the ball fine. No Neighbors, that's an issue. We know the deal with him going to the concert, whether or not that is something you care about. He wasn't playing in the game. And we knew that was an issue. And last week, he didn't play in the game. And this offense looked dynamic at times, and the ability to spread the football, and Daniel Jones had one of his better games, and Wandell Robinson had a very good game with a lot of targets, and, you know, Slayton, you're still getting nothing from Hyatt, of course, but I wanted to see what this offense could do with the run game and with the pass game and Daniel Jones, and I thought in my mind heading in that it was going to have to take a shootout. Like, heading in, I thought, this Giant team is going to have to score 30 points. Do they have it in them? Do they have the ability to score 30 when they haven't over the pretty much entire Daniel Jones tenure here with the New York Giants? And I thought for sure the Bengals were going to come in against this defense that has led the league in sacks heading in, that has a young defensive backfield, and the way Joe Burrow's been slinging it, and this Cincinnati Bengal offense been putting up points, and he's playing like an MVP, and the explosive nature and what they did last week with Ja'Marr Chase, and you know how good T. Higgins is. And those guys didn't dominate the game at all. And Joe Burrow did not have a classic Joe Burrow game. Joe Burrow, 19 of 28 for 208 yards, zero touchdowns. And they got to him, four sacks. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, I know Ja'Marr has a big drop in this game, but they didn't dominate this football game. They didn't do anything I thought. In fact, some of the guys I was worried about, like, you know, they were mentioning it on the broadcast, some of the young players in this defensive backfield, you know, Tyler Newbin's done a really great job here. Drew Phillips has done a really nice job here. Azeez Ojulari steps up and comes through with two sacks, and for a brief moment in time was dominating this game. The defense showed up and put forth an unbelievable performance against this Bengals team that, despite the fact they've been 1-4 heading into this game, has still put up points. And I was shocked at how good this defense played. Were there moments? Of course, you know. Do you like to give up a 48-yard or whatever it was touchdown run to the quarterback? No. You got to figure out a way to be better in that spot. But ultimately, this defense did a great job. And what happened, what always happens, even when Daniel Jones played as well, and he did not in this game. All right? He did not. They don't score points. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but as much as we all have watched Daniel Jones play well over the last few weeks, even in victories, they do not score points. And in this game, he wasn't very good. He missed a bunch of throws, and again, driving in the red zone. And now he's limited his turnovers. But this is year 6 of Daniel Jones. You cannot, with a guy in your face with pressure right on you, you cannot attempt to throw a ball out of the back of the end zone down the middle of the field and allow your arm to be hit and a ball to go straight up in the air and have that turnover. This is year 6. Take the sack. Take the 3 points. He continues to do stuff that makes you scratch your head as well as he's played at times. And as tough as he is, I'll continue to tell you this, he's tough as hell. He ducks his shoulder. He looks for contact. It's probably going to cost him. But he's not afraid of anything. I respect the guy. Coming off injury, coming off neck injury, coming off knee injury. He's still out there fighting his ass off. I respect him. But he makes the killer mistake that you can't make over and over again. Offensive line vastly improved. Weapons vastly improved. It doesn't matter. And it's not just about him. He played poorly and he made the killer mistake. But this offense just doesn't score points ever. And I understand they have an issue with the kicker. That's you know, they had an opportunity to tie the game. And look, even off, like, I thought the coach, and there's been a lot of discussion about this coach going for it and coaching to win and, you know, showing balls and, you know, being aggressive and not coaching scared. Like, there's been a lot of that discussion around Brian Daboll. And in this game, other than the first drive, when he had an opportunity, but he went for it on fourth down all the time. He was uber aggressive in this game, and I loved it. Fourth and short, go for it. This offense needs to do something. This defense has been playing great. Go out there and try and score points with this team. And this is the Cincinnati Bengals team that's been terrible defensively. You've been able to run on them. The Giants really can't establish much of a run game. In fact, they throw a lot early on when I wish they would have established a little bit more of a run game. But even, let's be honest, even Andrew Thomas does not have a good game and gets kind of overrun at times and has a killer penalty. I mean, there are three plays in this game that really tell you everything you need to know. The interception by Daniel Jones when he throws it up in the air. The play to Slayton that I'm talking about, where they have a 50-yard play on the first drive out of the second, in the first drive of the second half, and it looks like they're getting out from behind the end zone, and they throw a 50-yard play to Slayton, and it's taken back because Andrew Thomas is 5 yards down the field, and then the missed field goal to tie the game. Like, there are a bunch of plays here that they continue to not make to win games. They continue to play just well enough to lose. And to score 7 points against this Bengals team that has given up at least 10 points for 75 consecutive games. You heard that right. And I know the league's changed, the defense has changed, it's not all the same players. But this Bengals team has given up at least 10 points in every single football game they have played for the last 75. And they have given up monster points to Washington. They have given up points. They give up 26 points to Kansas City, 38 points to Washington, 24 points to the Carolina Panthers, 41 points to Baltimore, 7 to the Giants at home in prime time. What is with this offense in this building? It's a joke. Listen to this from Jordan Renan. Stats about Daniel Jones and his offense. It's not just about Daniel Jones, but, I mean, it's his TD passes. But listen to Daniel Jones. This is a tweet from Jordan Renan. Daniel Jones isn't just 1-14 in primetime games. By the way, he is that. 1-14 in primetime games. You got that? They've played 15. They've lost 14 of them. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in his last 7 primetime starts. Overall, Jones has 12 touchdown passes to 20 interceptions in primetime. So he hasn't thrown a touchdown in his last 7 primetime games. He's lost 14 of 15. And he's thrown 12 touchdown passes to 20 interceptions. This team is awful in primetime. This team is awful in their building. And this offense had an opportunity, like I thought, was going to have to go into this game and put up points to keep up with the Bengals. Instead, the defense and Bowen as he leads them. And listen, who's missing Wink Martindale right now? You got to be fair. After the first couple of games of this year, when it felt like they were playing this bend but don't break, be careful, don't attack the passer, stand back, let's not make mistakes, let's not blitz and put these young cornerbacks on an island with these wide receivers in today's day and age where everything's a penalty, let's just make sure we keep it in front of us. That was the kind of defense they were playing the first 2 weeks. Since then, you got Burns in this game getting after the quarterback. They lose one of their premier pass rushers in Thibodeau. You get Ojulari stepping up with two sacks. You got Sexy Dexy continuing to be probably the best pass rusher from his position in the entire NFL. You got Burns making plays. You got Newbin making plays. You got Phillips making plays. This offense has been dynamic in Cincinnati, and you hold them to 17 points in your building? You don't let Ja'Marr Chase break this game open? You let Higgins get seven catches for 77 yards? That's it? That's what you limit this offense to? Joe Burrow throwing touchdowns all over the place to start the year? Doesn't throw a touchdown pass in this game? That's the defensive effort you squander in your building and put up 7 points against a team that's given up at least 10 in the last 75? Unbelievable. And there are no explosive plays in this offense. None. Daniel Jones had a couple of good throws in Seattle last week down the field. Other than that, he's atrocious on deep balls. Atrocious. They can't connect on big plays. And I know he's down his stud wide receiver. I know it. But you have to be better than this. They were unable to establish the run game. They couldn't get a first down. They couldn't get a third down conversion to save their lives. They're terrible in this game on the third down conversion. They're forced to go for it on fourth, and I guess I appreciate that from the coach, but they have no kicker at the moment, and they score seven. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how bad this offense was in this game after playing fairly well the last couple of weeks. They're 5 for 15 on third down and 3 for 5 on fourth. And he makes a turnover you cannot make this far into your NFL career. You just can't do it. You can't go down there, have that long sustained drive, and end up with nothing. You can't put forth that defensive performance, hold the Bengals to 17, and score 7. They are terrible in this building. They are terrible in primetime. And I'm sorry, we're back to where we always are. As the Eagles are going to come in next week, the Giants are 2-4. The Giants never score points. And even when Daniel Jones plays better, like, the way I think about Daniel Jones is, like, I'm down on him, right? I'm down on him, killing him. I'm not happy with the future. I don't know where the franchise is. Then the talk gets crazy. And he's, you know, he's the worst quarterback in the league. You know, Young in Carolina is better than, Bryce Young is better than him. May hasn't even taken a snap. He's better than him. Like, it's crazy. He's not the worst thing going in the NFL. He's capable of making plays. He's dynamic with his legs even after the injury. He's capable of the arm strength to make any throw on the field. He has times where he's accurate. But ultimately, he doesn't make the big play. He never throws the ball down the field. They never make explosive plays, and he doesn't throw touchdown passes. He's awful in his building, and he can't win in prime time. Explain to me where the Giants are going with that quarterback. Plain and simple. He doesn't score 30. He doesn't throw touchdown passes. He doesn't score points. He doesn't win in his building. He doesn't win in prime time. He still makes the same mistakes 6 years in that he shouldn't be making even as a rookie. What do you do with that quarterback? Where does this team go with that quarterback? Even if it's not all his fault, even if he's capable of looking like a damn good quarterback at times, where are you going with a quarterback with that contract and those set of circumstances? You're going nowhere. And here we are, 2-4, an offense that can't score against one of the worst teams in the league defensively. I thought they were going to have to score 30 to win this game. Half of that would have got it done. Not exactly half. You get my point. 888-808-1019. Just an unbelievable. Like, it's just, it's impossible to watch, man. It's impossible to watch. And I'm not trying to lay the blame at his feet, but he's the quarterback. And he gets tagged with the wins and losses. And when you get a defensive performance like that, when Joe Burrow and this offense come to town, scoring the points they've scored, putting up the numbers they put up with the wide receivers they have, and you have young kids in the backfield stepping up, you got Flott covering Ja'Marr Chase. You got Ojulari stepping up, getting two sacks. You got this defensive performance limiting them to 17 points in your building in primetime, and you put up a 7? It's unacceptable. And it leads them right to where they are with Philadelphia coming in. Now, Philadelphia's not that good. They're not. And his division's not that good. Look what's happening to Dallas. And Washington didn't, had a game that they had an opportunity to stay close against Baltimore, but it was clear who the better team was in that game. This is the division where they have an opportunity to actually pull off a kind of season where they could sneak by and win a division. Instead, they lose to Washington when they win the touchdown battle 3-0. They lose a game where the Bengals come in as one of the worst defensive teams in the sport, one of the best offensive teams in the sport. You hold them to 17 points and you blow it offensively. You can't do anything in your building. It takes you 10 quarters to get a touchdown in your own building. The Giants are just an impossible watch.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it. And that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 325. Giants annoyed me last night. It was supposed to be a fun night. Because I can't stand this slop offensively. Both teams didn't show any offense last night. But I was honestly, for the first time ever, waiting all day for Sunday night. It was actually accurate. I was looking forward to the Giant game, looking forward to the Met game. And the Giants, I thought I was going to see two teams scoring. And the idea that the Giants, for a lot of this game, it's 7-0. It's 7-0 at the half. Like, that's a great job. I don't care the particulars. Like, that's a great job defensively. You can't waste that kind of defensive performance against the Bengals. That's a game you got to go take if you want to have a season. If you don't want to go have a season, then that's fine. But if you want to have a legitimate season, if you want to try and make the playoffs, if you want to be a contender or somebody inside the NFC, you can't lose a game that you held the Bengals to 7 points in the first half, 17 in the game. And listen, it's not just the quarterback. I don't want to make it just about the quarterback. I know sometimes it sounds like that, and I'm yelling about him. He made a terrible mistake, and he's the leader of the offense, but the coach is too. Coach had a terrible game. The game plan sucked. The execution sucked. When you score 7 points, you stink offensively. It's awful. And I know they don't have a kicker. I get it. They had an opportunity to tie this game. They didn't. They had a big play to Slayton. It got taken away by a penalty from their best offensive lineman who didn't have his best game. But you can't have that turnover in the middle of the field. If you're going to try and throw it out of the end zone, aim it also on the sideline so maybe it flutters out of bounds if you get hit like that. You cannot just hover it, just absolutely let it go in the middle of the field. You can't do it. Cannot do it. Throwing behind guys, predictable on the two major fourth downs, they don't get it. Predictable. That fourth down when they needed it at the end of the game, just predictable. It's the same play. Just frustrating offensively. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Robbie and Lennox. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I've waited for an hour. Smokey, thanks, buddy. Good to talk to you. Listen, you know, as a 37-year caller to the station, as a longtime Giant fan since 1972, this is one of the most frustrating games I've ever watched. Let's start with the coach for a second, okay? I mean, you run the ball twice with the guy who ran for over 130 yards last week in Seattle. You ran the ball twice to him. Mm-hmm. You don't even establish a running game. Look, Daniel Jones is so bad at times, but he's better in play action. So if you can run the ball and get him in play action passes, he's not a good timing passer. And what drives me crazy with Dable is, like, when he needs to run, he passes. When he needs to pass, he runs. He tries to run on 2nd and 15 in the second half. Then he tries. They're ready to go into the end zone. They got a red zone thing going. They're running the ball well. And he tries to have Daniel Jones throw it. And then Daniel Jones makes, I mean, I've never seen anything so stupid in my life. I was at my girlfriend's, thank God, because I was at my own house. But when the thing's flying around my room, I mean, to throw that ball off is like so amateur and ridiculous. Yeah. Just take the sack. So all the mistakes, you know, whether it's the drop balls, the dumb penalties, you know, mistake by Thomas, the offensive line production. And the other thing, too, is, like, Tracy was running the ball fairly well in the second half, not great. But why do you keep running to the left side? You know, the shortest distance between two lines is, you know, 2 points, a straight line. You got a third down and one, run straight. Then the fourth down and two. Again, predictable, like you're saying, Chris. Why? The Slayton is absolutely covered like a blanket. And Daniel Jones has a horrible habit of telegraphing the football. It drives me crazy. I'm sick of this coach, though. Oh, it's on me. Oh, I got to look at the tape. I mean, he has the same nonsense every week. Could you imagine the Bengals, by the way, the Bengals 31st in the league on third down defensive efficiency.
Yep.
The Giants are 5-15 tonight, Chris.
Thanks for
the time, buddy.
You got it, Robbie. Thank you for the call. I know they were saying that in the postgame show. They have been the worst team in the league at third down efficiency, and the Giants were awful. They were awful. That defense, like, and Bob said something too, Bob Papa, said, you know, it's enough with being the get-right game for other teams. It's 100% right. The Cincinnati Bengals defense had their get-right game. They've been miserable all year. They did have a couple guys coming back from injury, and it was like, okay, let's stop playing crappy. We're playing the Giants. Let's go get it done. 7 points. You're not going to win in this league scoring one touchdown. And the third down efficiency, the inability to establish the run when that's what they were doing last week. Daniel Jones with the stupid play. Predictability going to Slayton, always looking down his first receiver. Like, you know, it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff. I like the coach going for it on fourth down as much as he did, even in the last one. Like, I think once you make that once you establish that you're going for it on fourth down, I mean, he went for it in all kinds of situations on his own 40. Like, this offense has to start doing it. I was okay with it. I was okay with every single fourth down chance. And once you start doing it, you should do it. It's like hitting on 16. You're going to do it? Do it. Hitting on 12 all night? Hit on 12. Like, that's it. I like the idea of continuing to go for it, but you got to be better on third down. You got to be able to run the football. The offensive line didn't play well in this game. Nobody played well offensively. Nobody. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
How you doing, Chris? How's your family? Good?
Yeah, everyone's great. Thank you for asking. How's yours?
It's birthday today, so you got cut off there.
Whose birthday was it?
My son's.
Oh.
My son's birthday.
How old is he today?
Yeah, 14.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Chris, just quick, another thing you didn't mention, I just want to make 2-3 comments with a question, is the longest play for scrimmage today for the Giants is 15 yards.
Yep.
How do you win a game when that's the longest? I mean, it's kind of...
You don't.
And the other thing...
They make no explosive plays. Now, to be fair, they had a 50-yard one, got taken away by a penalty, but no, they don't make explosive plays. They don't throw the ball down the field. Like, it's one thing... Like on certain games, and I could see the appeal against a Bengals offense to try and keep Joe Burrow off the field and have these long sustaining drives, but they got to end in the end zone. And this team isn't good enough because all it takes is one penalty. Like they're not good enough to consistently give you these long 5 yards at a time drive. Eventually, you're going to have to make big plays down the field, and they never do.
Never done it. And, Chris, with the kicking game, I mean, you have kickers today. You know, typically 55-yard field goals are, like, automatic. They've got, we can't, I mean, it's incredible. Chris, the question I have for you is, you know, going forward, what do we do? I mean, the Giants are probably going to win 4 or 5 games. They won't be able to get a top draft pick. Are there any free agents? I mean, going forward, what's the solution? Chris, I'll let you go. Thank you. And thank you. That's my question.
Yeah,
you'll be
well. Yeah, you got it. And thank you. And happy birthday to your son. I don't know. Continue to build. Right? Right now, this draft looks pretty good. Right? Right now, you're seeing some of the, like, you know, some of the guys later in the rounds have the, you know, obviously Tracy, Newbin, Drew Phillips. Like, you're seeing some promising young players. Keep developing. Figure out a quarterback. If you're not at the top to draft a quarterback, try and move up. If you can't do that, bring in a low-priced, or I suppose stick with Daniel Jones one more year. I'd hate to do that. I mean, he's not, again, he's not the worst thing ever. He's not, but he just makes the same bad mistakes, and he doesn't score points. Like, just plain and simple. The guy doesn't score points. This Giants offense with him doesn't score points. He doesn't throw touchdown passes. Again, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in his last 7 primetime games. And that is not just on him, but it's unacceptable. And they're 1-14. He doesn't show up in the big moments. He's just, it's so bad, it's hard to fathom. It's so bad, it's hard to fathom. So what do they do? Keep building the offensive line and wait until you're in a position to either go pay a veteran quarterback or draft another one. I prefer the draft method, but like that's why it's going to get to a point here where, again, I'm going to be rooting for losses. And you want to blame me for that? You can. It's not my fault. It's the Giants' fault for putting me in a position yet again to make me think it's better to have the draft position than win meaningless games, because we are around the corner. We're another Philadelphia. We're a week away of Philadelphia coming into this building and kicking the crap out of the Giants again from being 2-5 and honestly talking about what's the point of winning another game. That's where we are. We're going to have that conversation we feared. The conversation about whether or not you want to win games, whether or not Daniel Jones should be out there because of his injury clause. Like, that's, you know, you, those of you like, you know, Tommy, who want to see Tommy DeVito, you might, another loss, and you might start seeing him. Because you can't risk being locked into that contract next year with the Daniel Jones injury. You can't. And at 2-5, even with the division being the way it is, it's going to get to a point where the games are meaningless. You see what's going on in Washington? I know they lost to the Ravens this week. You see what Daniels is doing? You see? Giants don't have that. Giants don't have that. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
In another season, down the drain, right?
I mean, it's not quite there yet, but it feels like we're heading there.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
It's getting there.
They don't have it. And Daniel Jones, he doesn't have it. I mean, I don't know what happened to him. I mean, I remember when he was throwing the ball down the field with accuracy, and he was using his legs to run, and it's like, all of a sudden, where'd it go? I mean, he lost. He didn't just lose it, did he?
No, I mean, look.
I mean, what?
Yeah, I mean, I still think he runs fairly well. And,
yeah.
You know, he's been accurate with the football, and he's, for the most part, if you eliminate the dumb one today, he's kind of eliminated the turnovers on some level. He's not awful. He's just not good enough to win. He's not good enough to consistently win. He might win. Good.
He makes the mistakes at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no good time for a mistake, and thank you for the call, Stu. But, yeah. He's just not, they don't, like there's, I know I keep saying it, but here's the point. Look, like, you have to score points to win. You have to get in the end zone. You have to throw touchdown passes. You have to score points. And if you look at Daniel Jones, you could talk about his legs. You could talk about, at times, his accuracy. You could talk about the limiting the turnovers. You could talk about all of that. He doesn't get his team in the end zone. It's not just on him. It's the play calling. It's the penalties, the mistakes, the offensive line. Of course, it's the whole package. He's the leader. He's the quarterback. He doesn't get his team in the end zone enough. Not nearly enough. Plain and simple. Give me any other stat. He doesn't throw touchdown passes. Again, seven straight primetime games without a touchdown pass. And in the last 15 primetime games, they've lost 14 of them. He's 1-14. How is that even possible? By sheer luck, you stumble into a victory. They gave up 17 points at home to a excellent offense. And the offense could only muster seven against one of the worst defenses in the league. It's, where are they? I have no, they're in limbo. They are. They're in purgatory. I don't even know. It's just, they'll have a good game. Maybe they'll play the Eagles close. And we'll all get hyped up and it'll be like, hey, they were right there with the Eagles. Or maybe they'll even win the Eagle game. And then they'll be 3-5 and sure, they're in the division. Great. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's coming the next week. Like, they're just the most inconsistent bunch of just well enough to lose.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 346. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Taking you all the way to 5 o'clock. And the warm-up show. Another frustrating loss for the New York Giants, who are now 2-4 in the middle of the NFC East. Dallas 3-3, Philadelphia 3-2, Washington 4-2. Dallas with, you know, a debacle of a loss that probably should cost the coach the job. I mean, just getting absolutely embarrassed by the Lions. Just absolutely embarrassed. Unfortunately, a devastating injury in that game to a star player, but I mean, the story is that, you know, the Dallas has been terrible. The only thing, the saving grace of the New York Giants right now is how bad Dallas has been, particularly at home, after a building where they didn't lose for two seasons. They've been awful at home. Philadelphia hasn't been that good, and it was nip and tuck to beat the lousy Cleveland Browns. And Washington has a rookie quarterback that looks like to be on the rise, but still, when faced with teams like Baltimore, can look human at times. But they're clearly the best team in this division right now, already have a win over the Giants. But the Giants are staring up at every one of those teams at 2-4 after another lackluster performance where the offense can't score. They don't make big plays. They beat themselves with bad mistakes. And you know, I guess the one shining light is the defense was really good in this game. And their ability to get after the pass rusher now is legit. Like, it felt like it was a lackluster start. Then you could, you know, you could throw it away and call it fluky that they were leading the NFL in sacks. You could say, hey, it's just been a couple of games, and you know. But the consistent pressure they're getting, Burns was getting home, Ojulari getting home, Dexter getting home, the ability to throw pressure at him and just really adapt to this defense. I think Shane Bowen's done a really good job as the defensive coordinator this year, adapting to his roster, changing his game plan a little bit after the first 2 weeks of the season didn't work the way he's used to doing it. He blitzed a little bit more than he normally does. He wanted to get after the quarterback a little bit more than he normally does, and his teams rewarded him with being successful at it, and these young defensive backs are starting to play much better. This was a game I expected was going to be up and down, and the Bengals were going to score with big, explosive plays, and Daniel Jones and this offense were going to have to keep up. Instead, all they had to do was the bare minimum of what an offense does inside the NFL and, you know, score a touchdown or two. 17-7? This game went completely the opposite way. I thought they wouldn't be able to stop the Bengals. They did. I thought the Giants could keep up offensively a little bit, considering what they did in Seattle and run the football and, you know, have Jones kind of, you know, distribute the ball around to different receivers. All the targets Slayton's getting, all the targets Wandell Robinson's been getting, and instead, disaster. 888-808-1019. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's happening?
What's up?
First of all, at the beginning of the year, you would have said the Bengals is a playoff team, right?
Yes.
Okay. And if you would have said the Giants, they would only scored 17 points on the Giants, you'd be satisfied with that, right?
Defensively, sure.
Okay. What I see is here, I agree with you that Jones is up and down, and sometimes he looks good, and sometimes he looks horrible. But when you bring a game plan, and you got 10 to 12 quarterback runs, okay, and on second and inches, you're doing quarterback sneaks, but on second and third, you're throwing bombs, kind of like a little disaster game plan to me. And I put it on the coach. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is terrific, but if you bring in me the game plan beginning of the year against the Bengals, and you're telling me that you're running the quarterback 10, 11 times, and you're and on second and inches you're going to do a quarterback sneak, but on other times on second and short you're going to throw a bomb, you really don't have a game plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the things you say I don't agree with on the idea
of
that
course
it's the
you don't.
The idea that it's the coach. Yeah, definitely. I have no problem. Listen, this is the NFL. You think taking a chance down the field on second and three is a bad decision? It's not. That's how you get points. That's how you get points. I don't want, you know what? I don't want 4 yards on second and three. I know it gets you a first down, but how many first downs do they have to string together to get in the end zone? This offense isn't good enough to string together first down at 11 yards, 11 yards, 11 yards, 11 yards. They're going to make a mistake. They're going to get a penalty. They're going to throw an interception. They're going to have a fumble. Like, how about an explosive play that gets you 50 yards on second and three? Like, other teams do that, you know? It doesn't mean it's a bad game plan. You got to take a shot because third and three is still a good chance to get a first down. I don't mind taking the chance second and three. And Daniel Jones's legs are his weapon. I have no problem. I have no problem trying to get Daniel Jones running in this game. I agree with you that there's game plan issues, but I don't think your examples are very good. I have no problem going down the field second and three. We got to go down the field, no? When's the only time to go down the field? Third and 15? Yeah, well, it's kind of hard. Second and three sets you up for an opportunity to go down the field. Because if you don't get it, now you're third and three with an opportunity, a third and short. That's what you're looking for. They don't go down the field enough, Eddie. Your complaint is you want to try and get 4 yards on second and three? Okay, great. I don't poo-poo first downs. Yeah, I get it. Move the chains. But how about an explosive play? How about 25 yards? How about 30 yards on a play to help you get in the end zone? Because this offense, this offensive line, this quarterback, this team isn't good enough to consistently go down the field for, 3.5 yards in a cloud of dust at a time. I mean, come on. They're not running the veer. Can we actually have some explosive plays? They got a third-round draft pick from last year who apparently takes the top off of defenses. He's not even in use. You want to talk about game planning? You're down your big-time wide receiver. You got a young kid you drafted third overall who's got speed, who could take the top off the defense and maybe at least make them think they're going down the field. Because if you watch the Bengals, how'd they play it? Remember that one play was like third and seven and Chris Collinsworth pointed it out that they just sat, the entire defense just sat at the sticks and there was nowhere to go? How about figuring out a way to utilize your weapons? That's the problem I have with the game plan. Why isn't Hyatt involved in the slightest in a game plan? Why are we not trying to get the ball down the field? Why are we not establishing the run so that you can set up the play action pass and go deep? So that on second and third, they think you might run to get the first down and you could take a shot down the field. That's exactly what I want to do, Eddie. It's exactly what I want to do. They're incapable of doing it. The game plan sucked, you're right, but not because because they threw the ball on second and three, or because they went deep and took a chance. Take some more chances. Go down the field. Hell, in today's day and age, you might get a penalty, something. They got a couple penalties. They got one in the end zone that led to the touchdown. Woo-hoo! Don't you get it? I don't, you know, they don't have a good enough offense to run, you know. They're not going to run the West Coast offense and, you know, constantly throw it out of the backfield and get 4 or 5 yards at a clip. Like, they're not going to do that up and down the field. They're not good enough. I need some chances. And I don't understand why Hyatt's not there. Making without Neighbors. Okay, when you like Wandell, you like Slayton better than him? Fine. When Neighbors is here, you got Neighbors, Robinson, Slayton. I get that. Without Neighbors, why isn't Hyatt in the slightest involved in the game plan? You saw one-on-one coverage against their best cornerback, by the way, and you took one shot in the game. That's it. You took one shot with this kid in the game. That's it. And I'm not trying to tell you he's not bad. I'm not trying to tell you that they're holding him back. Maybe he's awful. That was the knock on him coming out was he ran one route. Ran one route. I'm trying to say that 5 times fast. I get it. I'm not saying that he's dynamic and they should be using him, and if he goes somewhere else, he'll be a great player. But when you're down your guy, maybe just throw him out there to put a scare into the defense and get them off, you know, playing zone and letting you throw it below the sticks and then, you know, surrounding the ball carrier. I've seen it enough. 888-808-1019. Continue to take your Giant phone calls. We'll continue to take your Met phone calls. We'll get into the Yankees coming up a little bit here as they made a decision about game one. I'll let you know what I think about it. They have another decision on their hands about who to keep on the roster and maybe what should they do at first base. And then, of course, the Mets play later today as well. So we got baseball on the docket. We got football here. The Jets play as well, by the way. A big game where they're going for first place.